Hello, everybody.
Hi,
again, good morning. Very good morning. Yes. September morning.
Amen.
Back from vacation.
Amen.
Right? Anybody still on vacation? Come on, you can be honest. I was talking to my uncle yesterday. My uncle, he's here today, actually. And he said nobody wants to close up their pools. Everyone wants to stay in summer mode. So, you know, we can... You know, it's time to come back. We come in slowly. I actually, funny enough, feel like I've been on a bit of a vacation, but not a good one. Almost a vacation from remembering the love of God for me in my life. Now, that's not fun nor good, but what's good is that I'm back. And that, amen, thank God. And that, you know, sometimes our circumstances can get in the way of seeing God in our life. Because God's word is true. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us, right? Once you become a follower of Jesus, once you put your trust in him as your Lord and Savior, he's with you. He's never going to leave you. No matter what happens in this life, he's never going to leave you. But what happens in this life sometimes gets in the way of our seeing him and gets in the way of our hearing him. And what I have to say today is that thank God that he never leaves us through that, and we can just put our eyes and our heart and our mind back on him. And when you do, you understand that his love is greater than all of it. Anything you could be going through today, anything you have dealt with in the past or are going to deal with ever, nothing is greater than God's love in Christ Jesus for us. And so that's, pray for Pastor, you know, that if you're watching from home, Pastor, get well soon. In the name of Jesus, we pray. But, you know, this short notice message, God had actually already been speaking this to my heart before I even had to come up here and preach this. Because, you know, over the summer, I went through some things, a couple of trials, some health things, like I'm sure many people here are going through right now. And it's hard. It's hard. It's not easy going through trials of life. But what they do is they should draw us back towards him, not create a wedge between us and him. And sometimes doubt and fear in the enemy, that's what he wants to do. But we've got to overcome that, renounce that, and believe that he is good despite the circumstances. And his word declares it that he's good and that he works all things for good. So let's get into it today. We're going to be in the book of 1 John. So Pastor's been preaching through Revelation, right? Revelation is the revelation of John the Apostle. So we're taking a break, but we're not leaving the author, right? And the author, John the Apostle, actually is the one who Jesus loved. He's the beloved apostle, right? Jesus loved all his apostles, but John got the title. Why? I don't know. Peter was probably upset. But I don't know if you guys watched Chosen, but they portray that well on The Chosen. but John's the beloved apostle. So he experienced the love of God personally in walking with Jesus Christ. And for us as believers, we have also experienced the love of God personally. And I just want to get into this today because I really just feel that this is the key to our walk as Christians. And for those who are not Christians here, those who have not been saved yet, boy, if I could say one thing, you are missing out. You're missing out on the truest, purest, and most unconditional love in the whole entire world, in creation, in God's love for you in Christ Jesus. He's so merciful. He's so good. He's so loving. He's so forgiving and compassionate on us. And he wants you to draw near to him today. And so I just pray that these words will assist us with this. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, we'll start. Says, Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So if you're, I don't know if we've got outlines, but if you do, or if we got one up there, this is the command of love, right? We're starting here with a command. So he's speaking to beloved. So he's speaking to those who have experienced the love of God, right? Christians, those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ and they have been saved. Now, what is our command? Love one another. Why do we love one another? For love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Love completes the picture of a life in fellowship with God. This is the command, right? Jesus says, he says, love others as I have loved you. We've received his love. There's only one thing that he calls us to do now is go and live that out. The issue is when we get into this obligation mentality. I've got to go love people. I've got to love God. I've got to love him, and I don't like what's going on. We miss out on what God is actually doing in our life and what he's done. So, again, here, love is presented as a consequence of our relationship with him. It's not, we don't just have to drum up love. We don't just have to, you know, make love come out of nowhere. Our love is supposed to come from our relationship with God and understanding who he is. And he says, everyone that loves is of God, right? Now, in our world, people say, I love my iPhone. I love that show. I love, what do we say? We love, food. Who here loves food? All right, there you go. I love food, X, Y, and Z. I'm sure we say a lot of other things about love, but is that really love? I mean, we have a lot of different definitions and perverted definitions of what love is as compared to what love actually is, as exemplified in the love of God in Jesus Christ for us. But what John is saying here is that if we do truly know God and we are saved and we are born again, what's the natural consequence? It's love, right? We're going to live out our faith among, first and foremost, the brothers and sisters in Christ, which is so amazing. You know, whenever you come up here and the song, the hymn is completely aligned with your message. The prayers are completely aligned with your message. It's like that wasn't prepared, guys. We had not spoken all week. This God just told me I was preaching yesterday. So he's working, you know, and he's just trying to draw us close to him. If we truly know him, if we're truly born again, we are called to love one another and love one another as he loved us. This is not a love like the world loves, right? The world loves, if you love me, I'll love you. If you don't love me, I'm not going to love you, right? We love in a greater capacity because of what Jesus did for us, and we're going to see that. But again, John's saying here that love is presented as a consequence of being born again, right? It doesn't mean that everyone who loves, right, or does nice things for people is born again, because we understand in order for you to truly love, you have to know God. We're not all born knowing God. We're born in sin. We're born disconnected from God because of our sin, because of our flesh. So in order to be saved and in order to truly know what this love is, right? How do we define this love? This love can only be defined based on knowing him. John actually says this a little bit earlier, just so, like he said, right? He doesn't mean that everyone who loves is saved, because that's not true. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you're not saved. In 1 John 2:23, he says, whosoever denies the Son, the same has not the Father. He that acknowledgeth the Son has the Father also. And a little bit also earlier in this chapter, 1 John 4, 2-3, he says, hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come of the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come of the flesh is not of God. That is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Not all people know God. Not all people know the love of God. You have to come to know God personally as your Savior. You have to have a relationship with him and understand what he's done for you. Unbelievers can love to some degree, right? I mean, there's many unbelievers that are married. There's many unbelievers that are, they do kind things for people, right? And maybe even some self-sacrificial love. I mean, unbelievers have the capacity to do that. But that is only a grace. They may not understand why. It may not make any sense. For us as Christians, it makes perfect sense why we love the unlovable. It makes perfect sense why we do good to those who do evil to us. It makes why, though, right? And that's when you know him and you know how he's revealed himself to you in Jesus, and he's died for you when you were in sin and you were lost and you were doing everything against him. It gives us this higher capacity for love. Here's the latter part of this verse. The latter part of this verse says that verse 8 in John chapter 4, it says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Right? So the person who lacks love shows that you do not truly know God. And let this be a warning for us as Christians. If we're not living in the love that Jesus has given us, which we don't deserve, we're not living out what we know to be true, right? We're not living in our love, an undeserved love for our neighbor, an undeserved love for the person next to you that you don't know. If you're not living that out, you've forgotten why. If you think you, and also, if you think you've just got to do it, I've got to love Linda because Linda's right there, and God, you're telling me to love Linda. No, I want to love Linda. I want to love everyone here and show them love and do good to them and point them towards the Savior that loved me when I was fallen, when I was broken, and when I was sin, and that doesn't leave me and doesn't forsake me, and that I can hope in every day and have a confident hope in because of his love for me. That his love is so great that whatever I'm facing in this life, that he's faithful and he's true, and that's towards me. I can pass that out all day. And it's only in one name. It's only in the name of Jesus. Again, why is this? He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now, let's talk about that. Love is not God. God is love. Dwight Moody said this. He said, if we have got the true love of God shed abroad in our hearts, we will show it in our life. It's going to be natural for us to pour it out to others, right? We will not have to go up and down the earth proclaiming it. We will show it in everything we say or we do. And when we're living in the Spirit, when we're living in the knowledge and understanding and remembrance of the cross and what God has done for you as a Christian, you're loved exactly how you are. Exactly how you are, you're loved. Doesn't mean he wants you to stay like that, especially if you're in sin. But there was no qualifications for him saving you. All you had to do was come to him. It's the biggest gift. It's a gift. We're saved by grace through faith, not of works. It's the gift of God. No one can boast. It's a free gift. So again, John is calling us here to live out the love that we know. But it's very easy for us to forget the love that we know. But we need to remember. What is John not saying here? Because he's saying, why should we do this? God is love. God is not only love, right? God is one attribute of God, right? This is in theology, this is called one of the attributes of God, right? God is love. He has many other attributes, right? He's holy, he's righteous, he's just, he's good, right? But what John's saying here is that this is his supreme quality. Love is God is unscriptural. Am I going to worship love, right? A marriage, right? Marriage is a valid, right? We call in this world marriage and relationships. That's love, right? You love. You love another person. You treat, right? Love another person as you want to be treated yourself, right? But that's not God. God is love, meaning that it's not an abstract principle or quality, but it's known only by our understanding of who God is. The reason why we know self-sacrifice in marriage is love is because of the self-sacrifice of God in creating us and giving us life and giving us salvation and giving us Christ. That's the way we can measure love. It's his supreme quality. He continually gives of himself to others for our benefit. We have added nothing to God, ever. Think about that. Him saving me, he didn't need to save me. He didn't need to use me. It's an honor and privilege and grace that I'm saved. I'm up here and I can say that my sins are forgiven because Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, because he loved me, because there was nothing good in me as to why he should save me. He just did, because of who he is, because of who created to me, and each person here that has received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So how do we know love? By knowing God, right? He that knows God, he said in verse 7, remember, he that loves, everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. If you truly know God, you truly know who he is, you're going to love. If you don't know God, you have a lesser version of what love actually is. You've got to check yourself. Love is more than that. The ultimate example, let's go to the next point, the supreme example of love. Verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. God's love was made manifest in sending his only begotten Son into the world so that us, sinful, undeserving humanity, wretched in our sin, seeking our own purposes and our own self, selfish, so that we could live, we could be saved. That's love. John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved the world in this way. He gave the one person who never did anything wrong, who never disobeyed the Father, who never sinned. He gave him to suffer, to humble himself, incarnate, be in the flesh, suffer, live the life that we could never live, and die the death that we deserve. He gave his only Son, whom he loves, from eternity past to eternity future. He gave him for us. That's love. You know, how many of you right now would give up your house and give up all that you have for someone else who has nothing? Anybody? That's what he did for you, for everyone. He wants everyone. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should be saved. He wants all to come to know his Son, Jesus, and what he's done for them. I want to skip to this, but this is a great verse. 1 John 2:2, and he is the propitiation. We'll get to that in a second. The propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for also the sins of the whole world. That's 1 John 2:2. The whole world he's sending this gospel message out to, this message of love, this message of mercy, this message of being able to be forgiven for every wrong thing, every sin you've ever committed against God and against others. It's a free gift that he offers in Jesus. And he just for the simple fact that he loves you. That is the measure of love. Any human thing that falls underneath that is missing the mark. And as us as Christians, this is what we aspire to live, right? We want to be like him in our love for one another. So again, John, Jesus says, right, one of his discourses before he died, he said, I think at the Last Supper, he said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." He laid down his life. No one took Jesus' life. He laid down his life for his friends, for us. The amazing part is that we were not friends to him. He laid down his life for us when we were not friends. We were not doing right by him. He called us friends. This is the gospel, but I really feel that we just think about the gospel, right? for non-believers, yeah, this is different. But for us as Christians, right, we think about the gospel and we just, oh yeah, I'm saved, right? I'm saved. I'm forgiven. We're not understanding what that is, what that means. We're forgiven. We're freed. We're saved. We have eternal life. And this is what he offers to everyone freely, to you, exactly how you are. He wants you to turn from it, of course, turn from what you're trusting in, right? Turn from yourself and serving yourself and trust in Jesus as your Savior. This is the gospel, right? But the benefits and the blessing it is to be loved by God and know that you're loved by God, it is so powerful. In Ephesians 2, and again, here I'm going to shift from Christians to people who, if you haven't made this choice to put your trust in Jesus as your Savior, and if you have not been born again, you need to be born again. You need to be changed completely. We're born serving self and serving sin. You need to change completely and turn your trust and put your trust in Jesus. In Ephesians 2, it says, "And you has he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. In our sins, all we're deserving of is wrath and destruction. The wages of sin is death. Outside of God, we think that the pleasures and the love of the world, right? John says, the love of the world passes away, right? All that's in the love of the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's passing away. You think there's fulfillment there. You think there's purpose there. You think there's ground to be held in saying, I'm not going to come to God. I'm not going to lay down. I'm not going to turn from myself. I've been doing this my whole entire life. There's none there because there's no security there. Everything in this world is passing away, but the love of God will never pass away. As revealed in his word, which is true, will never pass away. His promises to us will never pass away. They don't become less true because you're going through a hard circumstance. They become more true and more empowering to your faith. And for this, again, like if we go back to the text in verse 10, we'll go 9 and 10. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, in that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. We were dead before we knew him. We thought we were alive, but we were not. We were dead. We were cut off spiritually from our Father who created us, who made us. And only through Jesus can we be made alive again. Once you come to that knowledge and you put your trust in Christ, now you get to live through him, actually. And in 2 Corinthians 5 says this, "For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Henceforth live unto themselves, if one died for all, then all we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not live henceforth unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Jesus died for us so that we might not just live to ourselves anymore. Now we have the capacity to live for God and live for others. We have the ability to do this. He empowers us by his Holy Spirit. He fills us with himself as Christians. He gives you the ability to love the unlovable. He gives you the ability to experience forgiveness in your life. How many of you this week have had condemning thoughts and guilt thoughts? Jesus came so that he might save us from that, right? There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you're in Christ, you're forgiven. You're set free. You are positionally in Christ. You have the righteousness of Christ. For those who are not, the wrath of God abides on you. And one day, you're going to be at the judgment. And the only answer God is going to look for is, did you trust in my Son? And he's offering you, come to him today. Believe, put your faith in him, trust him. please, we beg you, this is what we pray for. We pray because we have tasted, for us, if you're a believer, if you put your trust in Jesus, we've tasted and seen God's goodness. God is so good. Even through the worst, and I'm going to transition in a second to this, because this is really what he just opened my eyes to this week, that it's just a whole another level to me. But because he loves us, there's nothing in this world that can take that from you. No, nothing. You have to fear nothing. You have to worry about nothing. Who can live like that outside of in Christ? We fear death. We fear sickness. We fear lack of money. We fear, not being good enough. We fear and worry about all these things. But in Christ, your identity is secure. He loved you. That's amazing. So please, if you're not in Jesus today, come to Jesus. Be born again. Put your trust in him. Your religion can't do it for you. You know, I was raised Roman Catholic. I count it such a blessing that I was raised Roman Catholic. But I had to make the choice to follow God. And for 21 years of my life, while I was going to church every Sunday, I made the choice to love sin. But I knew that I had a higher purpose. I knew that God was real. I knew that he sent his son for me. And I didn't make that choice to be born again, to come to him, to surrender my old life and be made new. And once I finally did, I had peace. That's all that it's a personal relationship with the Son of God, you know, and gets you back to your Father. The devil doesn't want you with your Father. He wants you in the things of this world, and then he wants you in hell with him for eternity, because that's where he's going to be. The hell was created for him. But we don't have to go there. God sent his Son to set us free from that, from the condemnation of sin. He took the punishment, right? He was bruised for our transgressions. He was wounded for our iniquities. The chastisement of for our peace was upon him. By his stripes we're healed. Our separation and our separation from God is healed in Christ. That's love. Anything that this world can't love you like that. This world cannot love you like that. Verse 10. And this is where I want to stay until we're going to finish up here probably, and then just apply it a little bit. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation from our sins. This has zero to do with our love for God. We can't love God without a personal relationship with him. We can't do it. It's not something we can do. It's not something we can earn. It has completely 100% to do with God. God sets the standard for what love is. And without knowing him, you don't know love. You don't know true love. But when you do know him, when you do put your trust in him, when you do come to faith in Jesus as your Savior, he gives you his Holy Spirit. He now empowers you to go. God has loved you unconditionally. There's nothing you could do to mess it up. Nothing. Nothing at all. You're completely secure. You're completely safe. You're completely forgiven. You can go love. I can go love Kai. She could do the worst thing to me. I can still love her. Because God did me like that. So I can do that. You have this to give it out. We don't have to be angry. We don't have to be bitter. We don't have to be unforgiving about anything or anyone in this life. We can just live joyous and happy because we're forgiven and we have eternal life. And we have our Lord and Savior Jesus with us. And he's working. And he's faithful. And he's good. And he's true. And he loves us. And it's truth, right? It's not feelings. If anything, we take what love is today as definition. Please take that. It's truth. It's not feelings. Because you're going to get wrapped up, and I got wrapped up, thinking because I'm in a bad situation, right? God, where's your love? I know you say you love. Where's your love? This doesn't feel like you love me. But we know the truth that God works all things for good to those who love him. And you can stand on that in faith, right? We're saved by grace through faith. You can stand on that in your faith in Christ, that he's working that situation going on in your life right now for good and for his glory. And you don't know the feeling. When I caught sight of that and caught a whiff of that this week, whew, it's like every burden on my back got lifted. And I praise God for that. And I thank you. I know, like we talked earlier about prayer and about how, we're a praying church. I thank every single person that is I'm going to shout out Kai again, because Kai's been talking to me the whole time I've been going through this and just saying, I'm praying for you, brother, hermanito. So, he is good. He can stand on it. And this is our source. The source of love is God. It's not you. You don't have to drum it up. Where am I going to get my love to go out into this crazy world today? You don't got to drum it up. It's there already. You just got to believe it. You've got it. You've got everything you need. You've got his spirit in you. You know, crying out, Abba, I love you. Abba, I'm going to go love people like you love them. So his sacrifice is the propitiation, right? Verse 10. It's the propitiation for our sins. He turned God's wrath, and this is what he can do for you if you put your trust in Jesus. This is how much he loves you. You deserve really, really, really bad for your sin, right? And I do, and we all do, right? We're sinners. And what did God do? He gave a sacrifice that turns wrath into favor. God's favor for you. He's loving you. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You are righteous today in Christ. You are forgiven. You have a standing before God. You're God's child. There's nothing anybody can do to take that away from you. That's your identity. That's who you are. You're not anything less. It's just true. We're going to go to the next point I want to actually, please flip with me for 1 second to Romans 5. It's the only passage I'm going to turn to. And we're going to just pretty much read it and go through it. Because if you have faith that God loves you, and you have faith that he's done everything for you in Christ, every single situation in life, there's nothing that could happen to you, even death, even sickness, even cancer, even people dying, even people turning on you, even friends turning on you, even your church people that are supposed to love you and they said something bad. Nothing can change his love for you in Jesus. And God doesn't change, right? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's all based on our position in Christ. Our position in Christ sustains us through any and every life situation, for it is founded on God's love in Christ, not on our circumstances. Don't get caught on your circumstances. Turn away from self. Esther said it. Turn away from self. Turn towards God. Take your eyes off your situation. Put your eyes on God. There's nothing too hard for him. And when you know him, you're going to live that out. Romans 5, it says this. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth, that means he shows, his love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Jesus died for you when you were in your sin, when you were wicked, wretched. And today, let's say you find yourself and you say, I can't believe that God loves me and that he wants to save. It's true. He loves you just as you are. He wants you just come to him. Come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek, gentle, and humble and lowly in heart. He just says, come. Just come to Jesus. That's it. Just come to Jesus today. You're in Jesus. Live this. This is John's whole point of writing this. Live it. Don't live it with God. Say, when you think you're unloved, when you think you're not forgiven, when you think, I can't believe I'm messing this up again, I can't believe I'm doing this again, I can't believe X, Y, and Z, I'm forgiven. I'm free. I'm safe. I'm empowered. I have the Holy Spirit living in me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can go through good and bad. It doesn't matter. Bring this to your mind. Bring it to your heart. Trust Him, right? You've got it. In Christ Jesus, it's all in Him. Go to Jesus. You've got it. So, and what are we going to do? I'm going to just rattle these off real quick, and then we'll wrap. What are we going to do if we do this? Let's go to 1 John 4, chapter 4, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. Let's stop there. If you do this, people are going to see God in you. They're going to see God. They're going to see the Holy Spirit, right? His Holy Spirit lives in us. They're going to know we're loved, we're saved, we're forgiven. They're going to see God in you. They're going to see that you're different. They're going to wonder. Because when we look to God, we must wonder, how could He be so good? How could He be so merciful and loving? And first off, right, let's live it. On the outline, it's the consequences of love. Number one, it's you're made complete in love. This is our purpose. This is our purpose here. This is the fulfillment of why God saved us. It's to bring Him glory and to love other people and to show Him to this world. This is our purpose. Next, we're going to testify of love. Let's look at verse 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, right? Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. We're going to testify to this whole entire world that God is real, that he is true, that he is, we're not on some shaky ground up here. We're on the firm foundation of the love of God and Jesus. There's no other love like this in the world. Every religion's do this and will do this for you. God is like, I did this for you in Jesus. It's finished. There's nothing like this. And not only just impersonally, but I did this for you. You know, I did it for you. I know you perfectly, and I did it for you. Just come to me. Turn from your sin. Turn from doing it your way, and come to me, and just say, God, I'm ready. You know that when I got saved, that was it. I was just like, I'm ready. I'm tired. You know, who says it? Somebody here, I think maybe Brother Kenny says, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, right? I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I said, even in our walk right now, maybe in your walk with Christ right now, you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Come back to the love of Jesus. Come back. Just understand, you don't have to do anything. It's an honor and privilege for me to get up here and just speak about this. And honestly, it's like just a joy. And for us to just live in our gifts, right? We all are gifted differently. It's an honor and privilege. Just live it. Live it this week, you know? So we're going to testify. Share the gospel, right? This is the gospel. It's Him. It's Jesus. Jesus for you. Go live it. Go live it and speak of it. C, we're going to be made fearless in love. Let's look at verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. If you live this out, I promise you, you don't have to worry about anything. And we're going to be made more and more like Jesus. We're going to be made more and more Christ-like. When we mess up, right? He doesn't hold it against us. Just come back home, right? Like the prodigal son, just come back home. 1 John 1:9, you turn back to chapter 1. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every single time, He's going to forgive you. So, again, let's love. We love because, verse 19, we'll close there. We love Him because He first loved us. Let's get it right. Where are you working from? Don't drum it up. You don't need to drum it up. Nobody needs you to drum it up. I don't need to put on a happy face. There's no way I could have not have a happy face if I'm thinking about this, you know? And let's be merciful to those people who are in the dumps, right? It's not just like, just be happy with Jesus. No, I'm telling you, I've heard this weeks and weeks and weeks, but I'm finally getting it, you know? And finally saying that I don't need my situation to change for me to experience the love of God in him. So I praise God for that, and I pray for each one of you. Lord, we just thank you. We close in prayer right now, Lord, and whew, you love us, Jesus. Father, you love us. Father, you created us. You knew us from before we were born in the womb. You knew us, and you sent your son into this world to save us personally. I don't know if anybody's out there right now, Lord, that doesn't know that personally you sent Jesus for them. You said, not only for us, but for the whole world, Father. You are not willing that anyone should perish and be lost. And we know that if you are love and you are holy and you are righteous, then you also must be just, Lord. And there is a judgment, Lord. It's coming one day and could come today, could come tomorrow. But you are not willing that any should perish and go to hell, Lord. You want all to come to repentance, change your mind about Jesus, change your mind about you, Father, and live for you now and have purpose, meaning in life. If there's anybody here that doesn't know that, please just raise your hand and you can talk to me. You can talk to one of the other leaders here about being born again today. Today's the day of the Lord. If you hear his voice today, don't harden your heart. Come to him today. Raise your hand today. Trust in him. Even if you don't raise your hand, talk to someone who knows Jesus. Talk to them. Get to know him. He loves you. He's merciful. He's good. For Christians, let's live this out. Let's live this out. Love one another, right? Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. Lord, help us to live this out today, Father. Help us to live this out today. Please help me to live this out, Lord. I fail all the time, but Lord, you love me just the same. And when I got the grips of this, I love you even more than I did before. So I thank you for this. Bless the rest of our day. Bless us, Lord, and guide our steps. In Jesus' name, amen.